Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience. It's not every day that I get to welcome to the show a person whose work I so deeply admire and who has had as significant an impact on my life as the guest I'm about to introduce. It has been a few years since I first picked up The Go-Giver, a little story about a powerful business idea, and it remains one of my all-time favorite business books. My guest is the author of a number of books on sales, marketing, and influence, with total book sales of well over 1 million copies. His book, The Go-Giver, co-authored with John David Mann, itself has sold over 950,000 copies and has been translated into 28 languages. My guest is an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He's also an unapologetic animal fanatic and is a past member of the board of directors of Furry Friends Adoption Clinic and Ranch in his town of Jupiter, Florida. Today, it is my distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the show Mr. Bob Burke.
The honor and privilege is mine. Thank you so much for having me on. I've greatly enjoyed getting to know you over social media, and it's really a thrill.
I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you so much for spending the time with me today. And I have to say, one of the things that I continue to appreciate and am impressed with about yourself is that you are so active and engaged with people on social media. I see you all over the place just commenting and participating in the community. So I appreciate that, you know, as you're a busy person, so it's nice to see.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Bob, could you begin by sharing a little bit about how The Go-Giver came to be and what it means to shift your focus from getting to giving?
Yeah, it came to be because I had a book years and years ago called Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales, which was really first entrepreneurs and salespeople who, you know, they knew they had a product or service that was fantastic. It brought great value to others. They were proud of it. Yet they didn't feel comfortable in the process of going out there and meeting people and creating those relationships that lead to people wanting to do business with you and refer you to others. So it was really a step-by-step system. I define a system as simply the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles, the key being predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired results of B, then you know that all you need to do is A and continue to do A, and you'll eventually get those desired results. So it was a book we had a lot of fun with. It was a traditional how-to book, though. And throughout the years, I'd always read a lot of parables, business stories that, you know, had a message and it really connected on a heart-to-heart level. And it was short and brief and you could really, you know. And I thought, what if we could take the basic premise of endless referrals that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust, and turn that into a parable? So I just really first asked the question, what is the main substance or element of a person who's able to really quickly and sustainably develop those know, like, and trust relationships? And it comes down to the fact that they're givers. They're always looking for ways to give value, create value for others. So coming up with the title, The Go-Giver, was pretty natural. The best thing, though, that I did for this book was asking John David Mann to be the co-author and the lead writer. Because while I'm a how-to guy, yeah, John is a brilliant storyteller and writer. So he really is he's the person who made this really sing and really happen. So, you know, we would say, if you asked us, what does it mean to be a go-giver? What does that really mean, the shift in focus, as you said? Well, that's really what it's about. It's shifting your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that not only is doing that a fulfilling way of doing business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. And not for some, you know, way out there woo-woo type of, you know, magical, mystical reasons. No, it's actually very logical. It's very rational. When you're that person who can take your focus off yourself and place it on making another person's life better, more fulfilling, helping solve their challenges, helping them get what they want, people feel good about you. People want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you, to do business with you personally, if that's appropriate, based on what they need. And of course, refer you to others. So that's really the premise. That's what being a go-giver, if you will, is all about.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is, as you say, a powerful parable, and storytelling is a powerful way of communicating an important message. Yeah. I mean, it certainly struck a chord with me, and you know, after reading The Go-Giver, I dove into a number of different resources that you provide, including your 10 networking questions, which were a powerful tool. You know, anyone listening to this should definitely check out 10 networking questions, because it definitely shifts the focus off of yourself and onto people. I mean, a bunch of people were sort of taken aback by the questions, because they're not used to being asked those questions in a networking situation.
Sure.
In the book, you and John talk about the 5 laws of stratospheric success. Mm-hmm. Could you briefly give us a review of those laws?
Sure. The laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. The first one, the law of value, says your true worth, in the business sense, of course, your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment, which, you know, sounds counterintuitive when you first hear it, right? Give more in value than I take in payment. That sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy, right? So we simply have to understand the difference between price and value. This is key, because price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings with it so much worth or value, again, in another person's eyes, that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be glad they did, while you make a very healthy profit. This can be very as simple as hiring an accountant to do your taxes. She charges you $1,000, but she saves you $5,000 in taxes. Mm-hmm. She saves you countless hours of time. She provides you and your family with the security and the peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So while price is finite, value can be both concrete and also conceptual, okay? But what she did is she gave you well over $5,000 in value, right? She gave you more in value than what she took in payment, so you feel great about it. But, you know, she also made a very healthy profit, because to her, it was worth leasing out her time, her knowledge, her experience, her wisdom, in order to, you know, for that $1,000 fee. But here's the key, okay? Her focus was not on her fee. Her focus was on providing you immense value. The fee was the result. This is why John and I say that money is simply an echo of value.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thunder to value's lightning, which means nothing more than that the value must be the focus. The value comes first. The money you receive is simply a very natural result of the value you've provided. And that's the law of value. I can go quicker with the other ones, but that's sort of the foundational premise. So it takes a little while. Law number 2 is the law of compensation. This says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number 1 says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number 2 tells us that the more people whose lives you touch or impact with that exceptional value, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. Law number 3 is the law of influence. This says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Again, sounds counterintuitive, counterproductive, maybe even Pollyanna-ish. And yet, you know, when you think about it, the greatest leaders, top influencers, highest money-producing salespeople, this is simply how they run their lives. They conduct their business. They're always out for the other person. Now, let me clarify and qualify this, if I may, because I think it's important and it can be misunderstood. When we say place the other person's interest first, we don't mean you should be anyone's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. Absolutely not at all. It's just going back to what we talked about earlier, the golden rule of business, as Joe, the protege, learned from several of the mentors, is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Well, here's the thing. There's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by genuinely moving from an I focus or me focus to an other focus. Making, as Sam, one of the mentors in the story, advised Joe, making your win all about the other person's win. Law number four is the law of authenticity. This says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In this part of the story, the mentor, Deborah, explained that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true authentic core. But when you do, when you, as we like to say, show up as yourself, day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. People feel, they feel safe with you. They feel comfortable with you because they know who they're getting. There's that consistency, which is so important as human beings. We look for that in people. It's hard to trust someone who's not consistent because we don't know what we're getting. But when we do that and we do show up like that, then those know, like, love, trust feelings are much easier, and people want to be in relationship with people like that. And then the last one's the law of receptivity. And this one really says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving, meaning nothing more than that, yes, we breathe out, and we also have to breathe in. We can't do one or the other and thrive, never mind survive. We breathe out carbon dioxide. We breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving. We breathe in, which is receiving. And, you know, we get so many messages from the world around us that, not mixed messages, but really negative messages about prosperity and about business and about money and about, you know, you'd think that giving and receiving are, you know, opposite side. No, they're not. Giving and receiving are two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. It's not, are you a giver or a receiver? It's, you're a giver and a receiver. But what we know is that the giving has to come first. That's got to be the focus. That's what starts it, okay? But then we also have to be open to receiving that which we've earned.
Absolutely. And I love the laws and the way they work together, and they have such a nice blend that really functions as a whole. You know, the Go-Giver struck a chord with me and breathed life into some of the values I had and some of my beliefs about business. Do you think there's a Go-Giver in us all, or is it a lifestyle that we cultivate?
What a great question. I think it's both. I mean, I think we all have the potential for it, but, you know, remember, our belief systems are formed pretty early in life, right? You know, those, what's a belief, really? It's a subjective truth. It's not necessarily the truth. It's our truth.
Right.
It's how we understand the world, and it's the prism, and often the prison, through which we see the world. And it's, you know, it's a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, you know, all the, but it gets formed pretty early. And of course, we didn't form it ourselves. It was handed to us through those around us before we could critically decide what we wanted to. So, you know, there's a lot of people who, if you've grown up in a certain way, that to think that, you know, all business people are all wealthy people are bad or evil or did things nefariously or, you know, so, well, you're going to have a tough time thinking that this is it, right? And so, but yeah, I think it's in all of us. The big thing is we first have to understand or I guess accept, if you haven't done things this way, it's first maybe coming to grips with the way you're currently doing it isn't causing you to be as effective as you otherwise might be. Now, you might be successful in certain ways, absolutely, and you might have a certain degree, but knowing that there's more to it and that you could be actually even more effective and that perhaps the success you've attained is in spite of the way you've done things as opposed to because of the ways you've done things. And once we're open to that idea, then, you know, we're in the position to be able to create something really magnificent.
Excellent. I love that. Going back to one of the laws and how it relates to leadership, which I love to talk about, how does a go-giver create influence both personally and in business? And how does that directly relate to new business and even to leadership?
Yeah, well, you know, you think about influence. And as you said, it's so closely tied with leadership. I think it was John Maxwell, the great leadership speaker, who said, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And in the context in which he said that, I totally agree. And here's why I would say this. Because what is influence by definition? Well, on a very basic level, because I think we can take it basically and then expand it a little bit. On a very, very basic level, influence is simply the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. Again, just by definition, that's influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. It's the definition. I don't believe it's its substance or essence. The essence of influence is pull as opposed to push, as in how far can you push a rope? And most of us would say not very far, at least not very fast or very effectively, which is why great leaders, great influencers don't push, right? They don't push their will on others. They don't push their ideas on others. They don't push themselves on others. They're not pushy, right? You rarely, in fact, I'd say you never hear someone say, wow, that Tom or that Mary, she is so influential. She has a lot of push with people. No, she's influential. She has a lot of pull with people. This pull is an attraction. A great influencer, a great leader, attracts people first to themselves and then to their ideas. So we might very legitimately ask the question, okay, well, how? You know, how does this? And I think it goes back to understanding both on a head level and a heart level what I believe was Dale Carnegie's underlying premise in his classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. And this is where he wrote, and of course it was a brilliant book throughout, but I think this one sentence just sums it up. He wrote, ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. And so the great influencer asks themselves questions to make sure they're facing the right way, which is outward, which is on the other, toward the other person. For example, how does what I'm asking this person to do align with their goals? How does what I'm asking this person to do align with their needs, their wants, their desires? How does what I want this other person to do, how does it align with their values? What problems am I helping them to solve? How am I helping them get to where they want to go? And see, when we ask ourselves these questions thoughtfully, intelligently, genuinely, authentically, not as a way to manipulate another human being into doing our will, but as a way of building everyone in the process, now we've come a lot closer to earning that person's commitment, as opposed to trying to depend on some type of compliance, which can be, you know, manipulation or intimidation or, you know, what have you. And I love what one of my great mentors, Dondi Scumaci, she's a brilliant, brilliant leadership practitioner, speaker, author. I love what she says about this. She says, when it comes to leadership, when it comes to influence. Compliance will never take you where commitment can go. And I think that's such a beautiful saying. And of course, this comes from placing your focus on that other person.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, drawing my own line of reasoning in what you've just described and in other principles of the Go-Giver, I see so much of the ideas of servant leadership involved in the approach. And I love servant leadership as well. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of that pull versus push and bringing people along with you for the journey to success. So, how much of the Go-Giver and servant leadership intertwined do you see in the work that you've done and how people are applying it?
I'd like to think it intertwines quite a lot. And John and I both say this often, there's nothing in the Go-Giver or our the follow-up books, the Go-Giver Leader, Go-Giver Influencer, there's nothing particularly new in any of those. I mean, these are principles that first they're tried and true. We didn't invent them. We can't take that kind of credit. They've been around for since time immemorial. And successful people have always tapped into those. Now, they didn't always know that's what they were doing. Some people did it very intuitively, and other people learned it. Of course, we named different laws and principles and so forth and then put it in story form, but there's nothing new about it. So yeah, I'd say, like, for example, when we talk about in the Go-Giver Leader, we talk about giving leadership, and which is very much like servant leadership. We look at it, we see it as giving leadership as being both a noun and a verb. There's giving leadership, which is just a type of leadership in which your focus is on giving value to those you lead, right? And then there's giving leadership, the verb, which means, which is really about teaching others to lead, giving them the spotlight, letting them take the reins, you being there to mentor and guide and so forth. But you know what I'm saying? So I think that's, I'd like to think that's a lot intertwined with servant leadership.
Absolutely. one of the questions that I've sort of I wrestled with my own self, and I've come to my own, I guess, balance with it. But in terms of any drawbacks to being a Go-Giver, other people have asked me, can you be more of a people pleaser or be taken advantage of by being a giver?
So I think this is great, and I love the question, and it is a question that's often asked, especially before people read the book, because they hear the term Go-Giver. And of course, again, remember, we all see things from our own unique viewpoint, our own way of seeing the world. So does a Go-Giver mean you, first of all, that you could be taken advantage of? Well, first, anyone can be taken advantage of. And probably throughout our lives, unless we never talk to anyone, we will be taken advantage of every so often. I'm not talking about that. But the person who finds themselves continually taken advantage of, in other words, it's a pattern, mm-hmm. who considers themselves to be a giver, who's taken advantage, I'd say, if you find that to be the case, okay, I'll just say you're not being taken advantage of because you're a giver. You're being taken advantage of because you're doing things in a certain way that creates the environment for you to be taken advantage of.
Right.
Okay. And you've got to be able to come to terms with that, and then start questioning, why am I doing that? You know, what is it that I'm doing in all these situations? Because there's nothing about being a Go-Giver that equates with or is congruent with, again, being a martyr or being self-sacrificial, being taken advantage of, not at all. Okay, being a Go-Giver simply means you understand that your focus, to the degree that you place it on others and helping them, that's the degree things are going to work out for you as well. Okay, so there's nothing about that that says doormat. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, it could be, well, does a Go-Giver just give themselves away and not make a profit? Absolutely not. That would be certainly not a sustainable way of doing business. In fact, most Go-Givers who have a business, their prices are on the upper end of the scale. Why? Because we sell on high value, not low price. Okay, the focus is always on value. So no, while those are great questions and certainly very legitimate questions, mm-hmm. no, there's nothing about that that would be congruent.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we begin to wrap up our time together, Bob, I'd like to transition into a couple of questions I like to ask all my guests that come on the show. Okay. Putting you a little bit on the spot here.
I always get scared at this part, but I will do my best to...
Nothing too scary. What is one thing you know about life or leadership that you wish everyone knew?
About life and leadership? I think it's understanding human nature, and it's making a study of it, and understanding that if you are going to be an effective leader, if you're going to be an effective anything, okay, you've got to make a study of and understand human nature and be able to respect and understand the various aspects of human nature, even that you wish weren't so, okay? Because successful people deal in truths. They understand the truths and they work with it. Now, that doesn't mean you settle for what is. It's just, oh, that's just how it is. There's nothing. No, of course not. But you first have to start. In order to make changes for the better, you've got to start with understanding the truth as it is. Okay, that's human nature, physical nature, economic nature. Not understanding these laws doesn't change them. Okay, understanding them and then working within them in order to advance yourself, advance others, advance the world, that's what, you know, makes for success.
Absolutely. Very important. The next one is, when it's all said and done, what three words do you want to be used to describe your life?
It would have to be six words. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
He made people... No, I think this is seven words. He made people feel good about themselves. And that is, I think, very important. I'm sorry I couldn't get that down to three.
That's okay. That's okay. I don't think it lost any of its power. I like three words because it makes people think a little bit, but, you know, that's...
I'd have to do some serious editing on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that works. I think that works. Bob, that was amazing. Final question then as we wrap up here. Where can the listeners connect with you and learn more about the Go Giver Way?
Probably the best way is to just go to burg.com. My books are there, so you can get a chapter to see if you like where it's headed. Then you can always... click through to the online bookstore of your choice. There's also a free mini course called Selling the Go-Giver Way that you'll see on there. And you can look into that if you'd like. And there's just a bunch of other resources there, such as a blog and so forth. So burg.com.
Awesome. Well, this has been wonderful time with you, Bob. I appreciate you so much for coming on and giving of your time. And sharing your knowledge and experience.
I love what you're doing, and I just so greatly appreciate you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much, Bob. We'll talk again.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at R.E. Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.